I will try to do an intro. I'm terrible at them. So
good. Set expectations. Good. Yeah. Good for you.
If not, Jonah will do it.
What I like about Elliot is he exudes confidence. It's dripping off of him. We Need to Be Doing That, a podcast that combines sports, social media content, and life. I'm Jonah Ballow.
I'm Keith Steckler.
I'm Elliot Gerard.
We have experience in ad agencies and marketing, digital content across teams in the NBA, and creative for brands, teams, and athletes.
Come on. We need to be doing that.
We're very excited to have my good friend, Zach Best, who is the founder and general manager of Minute Media's FanSided. We've done a lot together in the past, and he's got a really interesting story and really knows the industry very well, and we're excited to have him talk more about that. Thanks so much for being on the show, Zach.
Yeah, Elliot, thanks for the intro, and it's great to be here with you guys.
Zach, why don't we start at your introduction and where you started? We were talking briefly before we hit the record button. I think you have an interesting story, and why I loved hearing that is because I always preach this. I'm actually responding to a Q&A interview right now about discussing career paths, right? And I truly believe that people, younger people out there, shouldn't necessarily feel like there has to be a straight line to where you're at, where you end up, right? That there is sort of this curvy path and you never know where you're going to finalize your career and enjoy something that maybe you didn't intend to. But just hearing some of your previous experience and your road to FanSided, I think people out there listening to our podcast would take a lot from sort of your road. So if you could kind of share where you started and how you got to FanSided.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And see if I can condense it too. I originally got one of my first jobs was in the hotel industry as a 17-year-old, and immediately fell in love just connecting with people. I'm a relator. I like to find connections with people. And so I went down a path of pursuing a hospitality degree with a business degree as well from Kansas State. Went on to pursue a career in hotels with Hyatt and Marriott. And like you said, decided pretty quickly that was not the life I wanted to live long term. A lot of weekends, a lot of hours. And if I was going to put that kind of time and effort into work, I wanted it to be something more rewarding. So I decided again to change career paths and go back to school and get my master's in secondary education. And I became a business teacher and a high school football coach. And so with that, I also was teaching graphic design, video production, and web design. And as that all was kind of transpiring, my brother ended up finishing second, which is probably the best thing that happened to him, is he finished and me. Finished second in Fox Sports Next Great Sports Writer. So he did not land the sports writing gig with Fox Sports. And I saw an opportunity with what I was teaching in high school. And I've always been an entrepreneur as a young kid. I always wanted to pursue having my own business that we would launch a Chiefs website era at Attic. So with still coaching, still doing teaching, we started this journey, what we call FanSided, and started finding various people around the web to join our network and platform. And then eventually still taught for another 5 years in the classroom. And I would just come home, work endless hours, emails till 1 a.m. or, you know, wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. to get emails done before I go to my job. And just a lot of grinding that way. Decided after a couple of years in that industry to change my hat again. And now I've obviously been with FanSided. I've been doing this for 14 years now. Usually before that, my wife teases me that I would change careers about every 5 years is with my career trajectory. And like you said, it was definitely not something, even in 2007, when we launched these sites, that I would see myself running a digital media sports company. But definitely my passion and love is there for it. And that's, I think, what we're all trying to find in our careers. And I think it takes some time. In early 20s, I had no idea what I wanted to be. I thought I did in some regard, but luckily kind of fell into this passion, this love of sports, and we're able to put that into this thing we call Fansided.
How has it changed? I mean, like, so you guys started as just like one blog. Was that's how it just a Kansas City Chiefs blog? Is that how it started?
Yeah, it was just a Chiefs blog for about 6 weeks, and then we found another Dolphin site, connected with a guy, and it was really in those early days of the blogosphere where we were all a lot more connected and in some ways not as fragmented, and people were just sharing ideas. It was kind of a new opportunity for a lot of people. So quickly we realized let's launch an NFL network called Fansided. And really the name came from fans are typically one-sided. So we took out the one and put in the fan, and that's how we came up with the name.
So is it a bad time to tell you that I went to University of Kansas and I'm a Broncos fan?
Well, that's a great story. I'm okay with that. My wife is a KU grad. Almost all of her sisters are, and my dad actually went to KU. He's an MU KU grad, which is also interesting. And then my current boss is a big Broncos fan, so I'm trying to ease up on some of my hatred for those teams. But no love lost.
Was that Chiefs blog? Was that all that Damon Heward sort of coverage, or what era was that in Chiefsdom?
That was the easy part for Adam and I. We launched it because we were so fed up with the team. And there was a Royals blog that was connected with the Kansas City Star. And that's kind of what spun my idea and my brother's idea was we could easily do this for the Chiefs if someone can get connected with the Royals through Kansas City Star. And it was definitely the bad times of the Chiefs. We had Damon Heward. We had Tyler Thigpen, Brody Royal. It was all payment, you know, that down payment to get to Patrick Mahomes. And luckily now I'm 40, I had to wait a long time for that, but it was definitely well worth the wait.
You know, we look at centralized fan content, right? And ESPN tried to do this a little bit too, with diving into the specific cities. They've kind of punted from that. And what you really get from them is more of the national coverage. I think it's highly important that the communities within those sports regions get coverage, right? Some editorial coverage, because we see the dwindling sort of newspaper coverage across the country, and that's a big issue. But I love the fact that you guys have sort of these different communities and different areas where, you know, if you're a diehard fan of that team in that location, you know, you can get in-depth coverage or a community to talk to it. How was that part of your business model? How big of a part is that your daily thinking in terms of content distribution?
Yeah, when we originally started, we just saw there's a large opportunity to connect with fans, and nothing against newspapers. They've served a great purpose, and I still love, like I said, the Kansas City Star is still one of my favorite go-to papers. And I think what we saw was just an opportunity to be unbiased, not worry about access, not worry about what the team thinks. You know, is Carl Peterson going to complain about us to remove our credentials or something? And we really just wanted to be that professional fan that's either sitting by in a stadium or by a bar, and that's the guy or gal's opinion you really trust. They come with you know, some expertise, and that's the person, not the blowhard you don't want to listen to, but the person that gives you an educated opinion. And that's what we really wanted to tap into is. But also have not just one unique voice. We love having more than a couple voices on site that even bring different perspectives. Maybe one agrees with the trade and one doesn't. But I think that's what fandom's all about. Me and my friends were constantly on a text thread talking about every Chiefs moves possible, you know, and we're all critiquing it in different areas. And that's kind of the flavor we want to give on our sites and our communities. And like you said, I feel like that really taps into that local community of fans that just gives a multiple of perspectives.
Yeah, I've always noticed that you guys really celebrate the fans in a lot of different ways that I feel like other blog networks don't. And you, whether it's like giving local artists opportunities or just, you even like have like what, an award every year for the best fan?
Yeah, so we've been doing the Fan of the Year for a couple of years now. I think it's about we're going on this year six. And that's, I think a lot of times websites kind of start to to shy away from fans or navigate away from that. Or that coverage is kind of typically maybe looked slightly down upon. And I don't feel like that's the way it should be at all. It's we're putting fans together. And like I said, just really great opinions. And yeah, we're going to give you the same news you might get other places. But we really encourage people to take an opinion, take a stand where you feel on different news pieces, different things or project. And create some conversation. And that's really kind of the goal for FanSided and continually adapting. And I think that's where we want to go in the next, couple of years, 5 to 10 years, is really continue to invest in our local angle and even see how we can build that even further out beyond the website.
Totally. And obviously the other thing that, the way that we started our relationship was that you guys respected creative, more than most blog networks for sure. And probably more than most sports, networks also. But, and I think that it's just funny, the power of creativity, and that, we created a piece of artwork for a small blog within FanSided that LeBron James found, used it to go Zero Dark 30 with. It's very interesting how something like that can just get found randomly by, one of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah, that was a very cool moment. I know it was celebrated internally and externally with the teams. Anytime LeBron's involved or sharing something that is part of your network's pretty cool. And obviously it was a great opportunity to work with you, and then a lot of other opportunities along the way. And I think that's what's exciting, is that these small communities, I think that same site got picked up on Pardon the Interruption and was talked about. It was originally, we had different, I think we came up with 20 different Shaq nicknames, new Shaq nicknames, like he doesn't already have enough. They were debating, what would be the best Shaq nickname. And so I think those are the types of really cool content we want to lean into. I remember my brother did a comparison of Chiefs players with Led Zeppelin songs. So it's always kind of bringing in pop culture, cultural, the city into the site as well, not just always leaning into, what's the sports news story of the day.
And you guys also do entertainment too, right? Is that you said that that's sometimes bigger than the sports in some ways.
Yeah. So we started investing in entertainment. We really always have seen ourselves as a sports entertainment lifestyle is kind of where we've always talked about heading. And fandom doesn't just mean sports. I see passionate fans in Game of Thrones community, Star Wars, all these other different pockets. People are very passionate about what they love. And so entertainment, we started investing in 2015. We acquired a Game of Thrones site, and that really started building the foundation for entertainment. And last year, we kind of reconfigured, realigned some employees and resources and started investing more into our entertainment, and now it's having some record numbers. It's doing close to being our top, competing with the NFL in our verticals, and just doing some amazing progress over there, hitting about 20 million users a month now. So we're gonna I continue to believe entertainment could be even larger for sports than us, which is fun. I get to constantly talk about Netflix, or ask employees what's in their queue, and we have some great conversations about entertainment and really seeing entertainment and sports collide a lot. You saw this last weekend at the Suns game. You saw Adele with Rich Paul, and obviously LeBron. You just see all of the celebrities that are in sports. I saw Tom Cruise and Harrison Ford at the F1 race. Those sports and entertainment and lifestyle too always collide in some way, and there's a lot of opportunity. We see them all playing together as well in the future.
Yeah, I feel like more and more. I mean, especially in like the NBA space, it's become, that's what it is. It's sports, entertainment, and lifestyle mixed into one in a lot of ways.
Yeah, if you put in fashion with that and the shoes and everything else that's just so popular within the NBA culture, it's exciting to kind of see all of those play together.
How has it changed since you guys were acquired by Minute Media?
That's it was before we got acquired by Menin Media, we were basically, obviously we were acquired by Time Inc. in 2015, and working with all of those brands, it was great for a couple of years. And then Time Inc. obviously was in their own acquisition and selling off all of their assets. So about that last year, we were frozen. And then getting acquired by a company that immediately wants to sell more of the male dominant brands, so Sports Illustrated, Fortune, all of us fansided. And so that was a 2-year process for us to be acquired by Menin Media. And so that was a struggle, and our team was fantastic throughout that. And I really have to shout out to the employees that just stuck with us and continue to grow the business. And then we got acquired by Menin Media January 2020. They immediately started investing in the business. And then we all know what happens to about 6 weeks later, we hit a global pandemic. So crazy to kind of all that happen within that time span. But the amazing thing was, again, to our employees, we grinded through last year and really came up with some creative ideas to just continue to create content without sports. And so investment was a little slowed last year just because obviously the economic uncertainty, and Menin Media itself is still growing to become a huge company and their tech platform as well. And then this year we've really started investing a lot in the business. I think we've hired about almost close to 25 people this year, and looking to continue to expand and triple down into our local communities, as we talked about as well. And that's the exciting thing is Menin Media. We feel like we really have an owner that believes in fansided and its long-term opportunities. And so it's been a blessing. It was a tough road to get to a new company that really wanted to invest in fansided. And the good thing is we're here and they believe, and it's just been a great partnership so far.
It's not an acquisition, I feel like, that would have happened 10 years ago, or more, because they're more like marketing, right? Like they're buying, you guys are, I guess, well, their name is Menin Media, but you guys are, they're buying a media network. So is that something that, it seems like more agencies are doing things like that. Do you think that this is like something new for Menin Media?
Yeah, it's interesting because they've started about 7 or 8 years ago and have really focused a lot of their platform on the technology side. So really creating their own CMS, their own VMS. Their VMS is a lot a part of their business. So we really view ourselves as a technology company with our O&O content. So we have a lot of partners that work with us on either the CMS or video VMS side. So that's the exciting thing is we're migrating our fansided sites over to that platform and really finally going to get the power of that platform, moving off of what we've been on WordPress for years. So we really think that's going to continue to be an opportunity for our sites. I think they are going to continue. We're looking at continue acquiring companies in the space. It could be content related like ourselves. Obviously, right before us, they acquired the Players Tribune. And to acquire the Players Tribune in the late winter of 2019 and then acquire us in 2020, it has taken us about a year for all of us to get fully integrated. And unfortunately, a lot of us haven't even met face-to-face just because of the pandemic. So I was able to meet a lot of our team, a lot of people from TPT, Fansided, across Menin Media, which just hadn't gotten that FaceTime. But finally kind of hitting our stride of getting integrated with Menin Media. And that's we have some big plans for the next couple of years for the company.
Let's start the timeline when you first got sort of into the editorial business and Fansided to now. Do you think fans have changed? And I mean that in the sense of the way they interact with teams. Obviously, we see in the NBA, right, where you could probably say with a significant amount of confidence that most fans are fans of the player, not the team, right? If they move, there's been a shift in that. Baseball, on the other hand, again, I'm making general assumptions here.
Yeah.
It seems more localized, right? If you look at the local TV money and what's going on with the ad revenue there, obviously the NFL is widely popular and huge across all. I just, from your opinion, do you think the way fans not only consume it, but their actual behaviors have changed?
Yeah, it's changed even drastically over the last couple of years. But I was thinking about when we first launched FanSided, I got a notification the other day that the first iPhone was in July 2007. I forget my date. But so we actually launched our websites. I still can't believe that we launched our websites before an iPhone was in the marketplace. So even just thinking about those last 14 years, you add social media and you add Twitter, you add all the highlights. So, and you can just see fans are consuming. When I was a kid, I felt like everybody watched the game of the night. You know, that was, we were going to talk about it the next day at school. Everybody watched it. And now it feels like you can see it with the younger generation of fans. They're really watching the highlights and wanting to have more conversation or connect with the individual player. And I think you're right. Like, I think NBA's done a great job marketing the individual players. And it just kind of feels like the players have gained a lot of control, which is great for their careers. And so fans connect with the player. I think baseball has a big opportunity to learn from the NBA, and hopefully they continue to market their players. So yeah, I think each one we've attacked a little bit differently. But the nice thing is if you're a Kevin Durant fan, you probably are cheering on the Nets. So you want to know what's happening around that team. But social media has definitely changed a lot of our consumption. And I think it's going to change even faster as we look ahead in our industry. And now you have even college athletes getting paid, which is great for them. That's an opportunity, again, for sports to change. And you see companies like Overtime launching their own professional basketball league, or semi-professional, I used to say, and kind of just seeing where that goes.
And also the in the betting space too, right? I mean, you guys are getting more involved in that also, right?
That's one area where I think sports drastically change here in the next few years, right? All these states coming online, huge amount of money. And you're going to start, I compare it a lot to the legalization of marijuana, where, someone's parent probably, is not going to try an edible, but once it becomes legalized, maybe they do. Or the person that doesn't want to place a bet, with an offshore or, their friend down the street, are going to feel a lot more comfortable on an app placing a small bet. And then obviously that opens up a lot more opportunity for larger bets. And it's crazy. When I land in New Jersey, I can immediately pull up my phone and start betting on things. And I think that's going to change, will there be, sports betting within your seat at a football game? And I think that's also, so the fan experience in stadium, sports betting, the access to the players kind of control their own messaging now, even players starting to own teams and really getting more of the financial aspect going forward. So I think all of those things in the next 5 to 10 years will change sports for better or for worse, but it's exciting. And like you said, a lot of money will be coming in for sports betting. So that's definitely somewhere we're angling. And just like everybody else in our space is trying to figure out how to play in that field.
And those that are listening to this won't see what I'm seeing because you're sitting in a bona fide Chiefs shrine. But, we all know the result of this past Super Bowl. The Bucks are bringing back every one of their players. Tell me why the result's not going to be the same. And if you're running this team, what moves are you looking to make?
Yeah, it's a great question. I try to forget that one. Like all the pandemic championships have an asterisk, so I'm trying to pretend on that one. Obviously, injuries did not help, but the Chiefs the Bucks were the best team that day, and good for them. And that's why, as a Chiefs fan, I definitely want to see the Bucks in the Super Bowl again. I want that opportunity. I want to see Patrick Mahomes take down Brady.
Nice.
And I think that the thing that changes is that definitely the reconfiguration of the offensive line really helps the Chiefs, not having to worry about Sammy Watkins if he's going to play every week. I think the biggest need right now is going to be dependent on what happens with Frank Clark. Obviously, interesting what's happening with him, and obviously you know, I'd like to see a little more edge rush, just like the Bucks had against us. So if they can get another pass rusher, I saw Melvin Ingram was visiting the Steelers today. I think we would all like a little bit of Melvin Ingram with the Chiefs. So we'll see. And then, you know, defense is always going to be the question mark right now for this team. Just as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, he'll be able to hopefully make some plays.
Why are we making the assumption the Chiefs are going to be the Super Bowl? Teddy Bridgewater, hello, AFC West champion Denver Broncos. I'm obviously joking. They're going to win 5 games this year.
I still think the Raiders finish in the bottom of the division. That's at least my hot take for the
interesting. So is John Gruden worth $10 million a year?
I guess if you're moving the team to Vegas.
Yeah.
All I know is, and as a Broncos fan, you got to love this too, is now you know every year your team will have a game in Vegas. And that's pretty cool. Like we're all really excited to travel out to Vegas. We call it Vegas Chief Games and have some fun out there as
so
well.
So you've been out to the new arena?
I have not been to the new stadium. I have not been to the new stadium. I actually haven't been in new T-Mobile. So I have a love for UFC, and so I've gone out there, and that's a great weekend if you've never experienced those. UFC fights in Vegas are tremendous fan environment.
I didn't realize we had a UFC fan. We got to go to the B-sides of this podcast and talk MMA now.
Zach and I will do a separate podcast.
Exactly.
Ever since I think we launched Fansided, I've drifted away from the major sports, and like now I'm my engineering team all loves F1. So now the Netflix series, if you haven't watched that, I'll put another plug in there.
Nice.
Sucked me into the sport. And now, and having 3 small kids waking up early on Sundays and Saturdays, it gives me something to put on in the background and watch.
It's an interesting comment, though, in all seriousness, because we've talked about this between the three of us, is that the niche sports are starting to have a rise, to have a moment. You know, we talk about the big ones, right? You know, the mainstream sports, but you mentioned F1, and that can be probably directly correlated to the Netflix content series, in which we all think content can drive a sport and increase awareness, increase engagement and interest in that sport. But then I believe when we were talking, lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the country. Mm-hmm. It used to be a very elitist sort of East Coast, or even in Colorado where I grew up, they played at DU, and you're starting to see the rise of it. Rugby even getting interesting, and of course, Major League Soccer. And I can't wait to see a game live at one of the major venues, you know, Portland, Seattle, or Atlanta, even in the Red Bulls in New York. So it is interesting, right? The niche sports are starting to have a rise. Do you have any thoughts on why that is?
Yeah, I think obviously access, right? You can get access to all of these sports now and watch those where, you know, when I was a kid, you usually watched whatever the game of the night was on whatever station. Maybe there was 2 or 3 games you could watch, but not the access to all of the sports. And I think the Euro was one of the most watched in the U.S., and obviously England being in it and exciting. And but yeah, I think for the States, it's kind of interesting to see all of these different sports. And then you have some really, I mean, you had a cornhole on ESPN, you know, you had just these different niche sports that, again, fans are passionate. And when you're passionate about something, those things will connect. And I think that's just the nice thing about where sports is going, is there's the opportunity for a multitude of these sports to really have success. And yeah, I think that's the fun thing. And
where do you see content going with like all these different things in terms of technology, like Top Shot capturing the top plays, you know, the NFT world, celebrating, you know, moments in sports in such a different way that you can actually monetize it. And also, you know, just integrating other stuff into content. Like, do you think that that's something that you will be doing more and more with Minute Media? Or, you know, I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think we're all kind of trying to figure out some of this. And you have NFTs, you have name, image, likeness, just a lot of different things have come back. And I think a lot of the trading card and collectibles and more, you can see, obviously, I have some collectibles behind me, is kind of us as kids collecting those baseball cards. And now that generation has spending money, and we're later in our lives. And it's kind of showing your kids, you know, what trading cards are all about, or like you said, those collectible moments. I don't know how fan-sided necessarily we're going to leverage that, but obviously keeping an eye on it and seeing where the industry goes. I think there's a lot of opportunity for, you know, a brand like the Players Tribune to really double down on some of those opportunities. And I think you can see some of that coming with them and other brands that are like them.
Let's tell people listening out there where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Zachary Best. Find me on LinkedIn as well. If we're obviously recruiting these days too. So if you're looking for an opportunity, please reach out. Always looking to connect, and as well, just, you know, looking to connect with people in the business. So feel free to reach out. And I know they'll drop some of my contact information within the pod as well.
That's a wrap for this week. Thanks for listening to the We Need to Be Doing That podcast. Visit weneedtobedoingthat.com for more episodes and contact information.